Blog Talk Radio.
Flash it. New thing. This is the song. Got two lyrics. Very simple and plain. We can all sing together. Nobody has to feel left out. Join in. This is a song that people need to be singing right about now. When they're telling you that you can't, you should, you won't.
PTSD is flaring up on me, and I'm being a little flaky, and I totally apologize. But I just got to let you know, I will try to be on as much as possible. I got a lot of sickness going on, and but we're gonna go ahead and do it like we always do it, and we're gonna try to get this thing started off right. It's 10:04 on a Monday night. You know what time it is. It's time for Sound Off Forums. And I'm your host, George Beverly Jr. And we're going to go ahead and kick it, like we always do it about this time. You can find me on Facebook at Sound Off Forums, or you can find me on Facebook at Sound Off Forums. Sound Off 97413. You can also find me at Twitter at Sound Off 97413. You can also email me at soundoffforums97413@gmail.com. You can also find me on Facebook at george.mindo.904. And if you want to call in and give you 2 cents, you can call in any time on this broadcast. You can give it. You can call in at any time and give your 2 cents about how you feel. The telephone number is 347-989-1014. That's area code 347-989-1014. As we always do it, we got to kick it off with that Ephesians 6:6-13. Not with eye service and man's pleasures, but of the service of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, however whether he be bond or free, and ye masters do the same thing unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your masters also is in heaven, neither is there any reason of respect for the persons with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers and darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Excuse me. Wherefore, take upon the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand the evil day, and having all done to stand, and let the church say, Amen. Ooh, ooh, y'all. Lots of things going on. Lots of things going on. Like I said, I try my best not to be, when I do these things, try not to be what I call an event change chaser. But there is things that do bug me and bother me tremendously. The reason why I say they bother me tremendously is because there are things that people say or what people do that transpire people to feel certain ways. And we as people are very emotional creatures. I feel, this is not my opinion, that it is time for people to stop being really brainwashed by the government and really get an understanding of what's going on and how they feel. Now, when I say that, doesn't mean that I don't necessarily think that the way that I am to transpire to be what anybody else does. But what I do suggest is that we have to not get a misunderstanding about the reality of the world. Okay? So I'm going to play this clip for you. I'm going to play this clip for you, and I don't know if this is this is not the right clip. I'm going to play a clip for you, and I want you to I'm trying to find it for you. I wish I had the exact clip, but. Anyway, so I'm going to play this clip for you, and I just want you to listen, and then I'll tell you what the topic's about tonight, because it's really a thing where people find people like myself to be unloving or hard or. To be honest with you, they call me, people like myself, to be a conspiracy theorist. And majority of the stuff that I talk about, they clump me as a conspiracy theorist. Now, people can say whatever they want about me and how I am as a person, but conspiracy theories are not conspiracy theories. Because the government says so, or the media say they are, these things are true. And the reason why they're true is because the government covers up for the truth. So they put us in a clump and call us conspiracy theorists. Let me play this clip for you.
And the things that I have covered in the last 40 years, I would say this is top five, maybe number two, and possibly number one in importance. Number one is clearly the World Trade Center bombing. But because, and I want you to listen to me carefully here for the next 20 minutes. This is very, very important. What we do going forward from here will determine the fate of our nation. Make no mistake. This story is number two because of what I know. What we do will make this the most important story of our lifetime. What's happening now is very important. What happens in the aftermath will make it the most important because it will either save our country or we will be done. So let me just say this to those at the highest echelons of government that know the tagging system. They know all about events, not files, events. Let me send this message very clear. We know who this Saudi national is. And it is in your best interest, in the best interest of integrity and trust for the people of the United States of America. It's best coming from you, not coming from a news organization. It's best coming from you. You have until Monday. We have information on who this man is. And listen to me carefully in your little event world. We know he is a very bad, bad, bad man. I know that doesn't make any sense to you right now, but on Monday, it will. It makes sense to somebody in Washington. I don't bluff. I make promises. The truth matters. I've had enough of what you've done to our country. I thought I had heard and seen it all. I thought I didn't trust my government. Oh, no. No, no. There is no depth that these people will not stoop to. They have until Monday. And then the blaze will expose it.
Okay, that was on Sunday. Now, I'm going to play you what he did today, because today was the event day, right? Today was the day that everything was supposed to go down, right? So, there's some things that he said when he was talking about last night. I went and I looked up the tagging system, and tagging systems are just like this. They're used by their internet now. These things are new things. Tagging system is basically if you have something on Facebook, then another program from another Facebook to let's say Flickr or whatever, if you went to that site, they can track you because you went to one site to another site, and they can pretty much find out who you are, what you do, based on these tagging systems. Okay, and so when he was talking about tagging, he said, I'm not talking about tagging, I'm talking about events. So let me explain to you about that. What he was saying was there's operatives in the federal government, which we all know, who track people. And these people track people through the tagging system. Well, he said that they have been already tagged, but now they already know that the event was going to happen based off of the tagging. So he said, I'm not talking about tagging, I'm talking about events. The events is what I'm talking about. So when this person was already followed, he was already being tracked and being connected. They were connecting the dots. They knew it was going to happen, but nobody came forward. So this is what he says today. I got a 20-second commercial going. I don't want to play that garbage and give them advertisement. So anyway, I'm trying to figure out what he's talking. He said bad man. I had no idea. He said it three times. I knew they had to do something with that, but I'm just beating my brain. You know what I mean? I don't have connections with the government like these radio personalities. But listen to what he says.
Broadcast, I made some pretty strong statements about information that we would release. Well, it is now time to release it. The government has not come clean, nor has really any of the mainstream media. Some of this information has now come out over the weekend. Some of it came out in dribs and drabs last week, and immediately the government tried to discredit it. But we have sources, and I will tell you that while we are not the source of much of what came out, the different people, these sources, some of which we are talking to, are talking to others. We are not an organization that cares about exclusives. I don't care about being first. I care about being accurate. I also held this information as long as we could from you, because I think it would have been much better if CNN, ABC, and NBC would have broken this, and I also think it would have been much better if the federal government would have come out. We received some of this information beginning on Tuesday of last week and began to do our own homework and investigation. By Wednesday afternoon, we knew it to be true. We have the sources, and we have documents in hand. So we know we're right. I warn you that while some of this now you have heard, others, there are, I think, five different points in here that is new and exclusive. I warn you that do not go to just anybody for additional. Just because these things we can verify because we have the documents in hand does not mean that we go any further than this. We have some other things that we are going to lock down in the coming days. We have some more tomorrow and the next day, and probably the next day and into next week, as we verify and also giving people in the government and the media the opportunity to tell the truth. The reason why this is important to me is this information will only divide us even more. I told you on Friday that I thought I had reached the bottom of my trust level with the government and with the media. Oh, no. No. No, I haven't. And now the government is out and out lying to you. They are engaging in a disinformation campaign to discredit and destroy. And some of our sources are under threat of 20-year prison terms for speaking to members of the media. I can just tell you that there are brave Americans that are at the highest levels that are begging you to listen and to take action and call your congressmen and call your media centers and say, why aren't you doing something about this? While the media continues to look at what the causes were of these two guys, there are, at this hour, three people involved in the bombings in Boston. The first one is the one we're going to address. You know the other two, they were caught on Friday. But the first one was caught on Monday. And we don't know at this point. I can speculate, but I won't at this hour. I can speculate, and I bet you can draw your own conclusions as well, as how he was involved. But we do know that he was involved. You can ask yourself this question: how many times does lightning have to strike in the first place for this guy to be at the scene of the crime and in the hospital and not involved? On Monday, following the bombings, a Saudi national was taken into custody in the hospital, having been injured in the blast. This is according to two FBI sources to the Blaze. They used the term in custody. That evening, his Revere apartment was searched and property was taken out, according to an NCTC source. NCTC is the National Counterterrorism Command Center, so I don't know. These are the people that make sure everybody's talking to each other. This is the group that makes sure that everything is coordinated. It is the main center. In exclusive timeline details now, the next day, Tuesday, the NCTC issued an event file. An event file is very important. An event file means we have a terrorist. An event file calling for his deportation using section 212-3B. If you listened to me on Friday, the reason why I said 3, I said he's a very bad, bad, bad man, was to send a message to those in the Department of Homeland Security and in the administration. We knew he was a 3B status. 3B is about as bad as they come. This is somebody, if you get a 212-3B tag, it means that you have demonstrated yourself to be a proven terrorist and engaged in proven terrorist activity. It was created by the NTC Field Watch Commander at 4 p.m., and he was tagged as a 3B. These documents are time-stamped. Who actually tagged him as a 3B, we are not sure. We know the field commander or the field watch commander is the one who entered it. Which government agency said he's 3B, we don't know. But we do know this. It is almost impossible to charge someone with this. It is very, very difficult. You need solid evidence, because this isn't something that one group says, hey, 2123B, all of the departments have to agree that that evidence is strong enough to tag someone 2123B. It has to be almost certain proof and evidence. If any agency that is part of the NCTC disagrees with the charge, it cannot be applied. It's very important that you understand this is not something that is riddled with mistakes. If you had a 2123B, if one person objects and says that's not right, you are not allowed to tag them with that. It's a huge burden of proof. It is the equivalent in civil society of charging someone with premeditated murder and seeking the death penalty. So nobody called up and said, hey, 2123B, put it on, and we'll take it off later. Now, this happened on Tuesday. As soon as that happened, Tuesday morning, Secretary of State John Kerry meets with the Saudi Foreign Minister, Saud. The meeting is abrupt, and it is closed to the media. Tuesday, after that meeting, the FBI starts to backtrack from the suspect, saying he's no longer a suspect, he's a person of interest. Then he's no longer a person of interest, he's a witness. Then he's a victim, and then he's a nobody. Wednesday afternoon, the president has a chance encounter with the Saudi Foreign Minister Saud again, and the Saudi ambassador, Adel Al Jabir. They say this was about new developments in Syria. Do not believe it. Exclusive now from The Blaze, updated information. Wednesday at 5:35 p.m., the file, the 2123B, is altered. This is unheard of. This is impossible in the timeline due to the severity of the charge. If these things did happen, which they don't, if this did happen, you don't one day put a 2123B charge against somebody with deportation and then the very next day take it off. It would require too much to do it. The order was that the deport order was rescinded. And this is critical that you understand, there are only two people that could do this. The director of the NCTC could order the change after talking to each department, after going to the FBI and the ATF and everybody else and saying, hey, you know that evidence we had, here's evidence against it, et cetera, et cetera. Only the department could do that by running everybody through and making sure that everybody signs off. Impossible to do in such a short period of time. Or somebody at the very highest levels of the State Department could do it. We don't have any evidence to tell you which one did it. Thursday, Jenna Napolitano testifies before the House Homeland Security Committee that no Saudi national has been or was being deported. This goes directly against the order that we have in hand. Exclusive information now from The Blaze. Congressman Duncan is in possession of the original event file, along with members of the House Homeland Security Committee, Congressman King, McCall, and Miller. They have sent a formal letter of request, which we have a copy of and is now posted at The Blaze, for a classified briefing on the Saudi national and the deportation order. The Department of Homeland Security needs to answer Congress. Another exclusive now from The Blaze that was just reported on Fox Radio. Let me read it from Fox Radio. The Saudi national who was initially detained and then ruled out as a suspect in the Boston Marathon terrorist attack had been flagged on a terror watch list. Let me report. Had been flagged on a terror watch list and was granted a student visa without being properly vetted. A source close to the investigation revealed that Abdul Rahman Ali Al-Harbi had been deemed inadmissible under a section of the Immigration and Nationality Act, which declares ineligible for a visa any alien who is engaged in or is likely to engage after entry in terrorist activity. At least two additional sources have confirmed that Ali al-Harbi is set to be deported as early as this week, contrary to statements made by Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano. Thursday of last week now, going back to the Blaze report today, Thursday, DHS and ICE told the media that there are two Saudi nationals, and it's the other one, not the one hospitalized for injuries suffered in the bombing. That's the one that's in custody and being deported. We would respectfully ask for any kind of evidence of that. Who is this second Saudi? There were no names, no pictures presented. The fact is, an event file was created for one Abdul Rahman Ali al-Harbi, indicating that he was deported for terrorism activity, clearly stated on the event file. For the Boston bombing. If there is a file that has been created with another Abdul Rahman Ali al-Harbi in mind, don't you think we should know about it? Also, exclusive from the Blaze. This Saudi had a student visa. This Saudi's student visa specifically allows him to go to school in Findlay, Ohio. He has been in this country now for 6 months. We cannot find any evidence that he is in Findlay, Ohio. He has an apartment in Boston, Mass. If this is a case of mistaken identity, then who is the person named in the file with the same name? With the 3B charge. If DHS was working with a person as a source to out the bombers, then why is there a 3B charge? Exclusive. Why wasn't the Congressional Committee on Homeland Security notified? Why are they being cut out of all information? This is protocol. We're working on the family connections, and there is more to come. Sources tell us this will most likely now be kicked from DHS to the DOJ and labeled an ongoing investigation that just cannot no longer be discussed. This will be the reason Napolitano will not answer the Homeland Security Committee's request for a briefing. Like Benghazi, they have a heavy disinformation campaign floating a variety of scenarios to confuse the media, but that apparently doesn't take much. To prevent the story from being pursued, mistaken identity, wrong Saudi in custody, they're also working very hard to discredit those on the scent. I will give you more information on this in just a few minutes, but I want you to know, I need you to call your congressman right now. There are those congressmen that are aware of this, have seen the documentation. They're in the Homeland Security Committee. They know. They have seen it. They need your support. They need your help. If the American people do not stand up and they do not demand justice to be done and they do not demand information on where this Saudi is right now, our sources tell us there's one of two things. He's either on a plane tomorrow or he is already gone. We want to know where he is. We demand answers from the Justice Department and from this administration. You call your congressman right now and you ask them, are you aware of this information? If not, talk to the Homeland Security Committee. And if you are not on top of this and making this your first priority today, I want to know why. Call them. Now, I will give you more information and why this is happening, and also the media and how they responded behind the scenes, coming up in a few minutes.
All right, y'all. Now, you heard what he said. I'm not going to repeat what he says, okay? But I just want to do my part as I sound off on this. There was, you remember when I told y'all last couple, I think a couple days ago, I said, you know, we hadn't had anything go off, you know, to scare the people in a long time. And, you know, now we've got, not only do we, in the waking mass of this, I mean, when I first heard it, I'm like, oh my goodness, that is crazy. I mean, I've got empathy and sympathy for those people. How about saying that? But it immediately turned and clicked in my head, oh, this sounds like 9/11. Then happened the explosion in West Texas. Now, I've been like a hound dog on that, and I still got some research. I don't think the two have to anything to do, be connected with, but it's very, very suspicious, and I say this, this could be conspiracy theory, because I'm coming up with, you know, with this, you know, possibility could be connected, but I know for a fact that Monsanto was involved in a lawsuit with the chemical plant that blew up, okay, that I know that for a fact. You can find it on Google yourself. They were the Adair Grain Corporation was in a lawsuit with Monsanto. Now we know that Monsanto had that bill slip through anonymously. We already know that. Okay. We know that the gun law has not passed. And once again, I'm not saying that it has a connection. But it's called a smoke screen, okay? So it gets people all riled up and thinking about something else while they're doing their dirty work on Capitol Hill, okay? So let me ask you, my great listeners, did anybody know that, what's her name? Did anybody know, this is a question, right? Did anybody know that on Thursday, Representative Jeff Duncan from South Carolina was on Capitol Hill asking questions to Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napito? Did anybody hear that? Nobody? See, CNN right now, MSNBC, all these things that people are watching, while all that is going on, and got people glued to the TV. I mean, they had it on all day. People missed missed all kinds of stuff. Had it on all day. And so they're having meetings to try to cover up what's going on, like the Benghazi thing. Now, let me backtrack and say this. Okay? It is not an Obama thing. And I know that a lot of people are going to be like, oh, it's been on Obama shift. But you gotta listen. These questions have been going on since George Bush Sr. was in office. He has been in the pockets and befriend the Saudis ever since he was in George Herbert Bush was ambassador to the United Nations. Okay, he helped straighten stuff out of the United Nations. He had befriended the Arab world. Okay, and that's how the whole oil tycoon and their families have such common interest. Anyway, so while that happens, George Bush Jr., Walker Bush, after 9/11, before 9/11 happened, or during 9/11, had flew all the bin Ladens out of the country. Okay, because they've never addressed that. They've never addressed why all these Saudis, bin Laden, part of the bin Laden family, who was a known terrorist, was in the United States. All of them was flown out, and was not any of them were asked any questions. So under Obama's watch, we've got a whole lot of stuff going on. Now, I do not think that those individuals who had something to do with it, they probably did. Okay? But as we know, one's dead and one can't talk. So are we going to get answers? No, we're not getting answers, guys. We're not going to get the answers from the people that we feel that deserve to give us the reason. Why did you do it? Why did you come to destroy these people? Why did you hurt these people? These people will never get answers. You know why? Because the people that have to do with it always suddenly die. You mean to tell me that guy, that kid, was a serious... I mean, of course they didn't know what kind of weapons he had, of course. Got it. But they had the whole city locked down. See, y'all don't understand this. See, I'm military. So let me tell you this. Okay? I didn't watch a lot of the TV. I don't know exactly what they was doing. But I guarantee you this. Because they had the whole city locked down in martial law, guess who was in charge? The governor was in charge. Okay? The governor was in charge. So that means the National Guard got suited up. If they had any National Guard there, I don't know if they're deployed or not. The National Guard was suited up, deployed, and they were in the streets. Now, whether they're doing the door-to-door checks, hey, I don't know. They had FBI agents, they had all kinds of agents down there, hunting down one teenage kid. And you mean to tell me that none of them, they had shields and bulletproof stuff and all that stuff. You can't tell me not one of them could have went up there and surrounded them. Come on, they had over 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 soldiers, including police and all those people, in that city. And they told them, do not come out of the house. They told the people, do not come out of the house. You cannot come out of the house, you get shot. So what I'm saying is you mean to tell me they could not get one child, one kid, because he wasn't a man. They could get one kid and bring him in for talking. I don't know. I mean, if you've seen the video and you saw what went down, maybe you have a better idea than I do. But my point is this. He is in the hospital right now. One suspect was shot to death. Apparently, robbing a 7-Eleven. I don't know if that story is true. I don't know. I didn't look it up because it's just, ugh. Makes me just so ugh, you know? And then the kid that got away, he was in a boat, hiding from all these law enforcement people with guns and grenades and rocket launchers, helicopters. They had all this stuff. They had so much firepower. Even if the kid had an M16, listen, he could not get through. He only had, we don't know what he had, but I'm saying if he had an M16 or AR, whatever it's called in the civilian sector, 25, I think, and one magazine clip, hey, that's 32 rounds. That's it. Okay? Bing, 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 bing. And if he's just shooting from the boat, then, you know, whatever. So my point is this. All those people for one kid, okay? Unbeknownst to us, there are people sitting on Capitol Hill who knows the truth. And did they ever say, here's a breaking story. The Homeland Security Secretary is having a conference with the panel trying to figure out what's going with Congress trying to figure out what's going on with a Saudi national. No, not one time did they bring that up. Listen to what he said. Even though sources within Congress had confirmed that the Saudi national was set to be deported under Section 2123B, several funds in the United States government had denied or refused to answer the questions on Al-Habib. First, I'm sorry, let me stop there, okay? Now, some people say that the reason why he was even in the country was because, well, he said it himself. He said the reason why he was in the country is because he was supposed to be going to school, right? And he was supposed to be going to school in Ohio. See, let me enlighten you on a couple of things. See, Saudi children who are if they're connected to the kingdom of the Saudi Arabian family, because the family's huge. You can't just pin one family down. They got like seven royal princes who's still alive, and then they got their kids and their kids and their grandkids and their great grandkids. So there's a lot of them now, okay? So they're able to come to the United States on a student visa to get education. Now, a lot of Americans don't know that. That's why I'm telling you the information, okay? So just like the Bin Ladens that were here were getting education from America. You say, well, how are they getting free education from America when they're not American? Listen, it's not my system. The government set it up. Talk to your congressman. So this young boy who was connected to the Al-Habi clan, as they call them, was sent to America to school. But he apparently wasn't smart or something. I don't know how it goes. Some kids, some people get special privileges because they are a little smarter, so they go to the Ivy League schools. Well, I guess he just wasn't one of them, but they wanted to give him American education, right? So like Mr. Beck said, he said that he was supposed to be living in Ohio, going to school in Ohio, but he was living in Boston. Okay, we're talking about immigration laws, right? We're talking about Mexicans coming into our borders and doing all these crazy things, right? Okay? Let me ask you a question. How many Mexican terrorists do you know? Are they throwing fruit and vegetables at the... No. Listen. And I said this before, I'll say it again. I am not against anybody who practices Islam. I'm not against anybody that is Arab or from the Middle East. I'm not. What I am upset about is allowing these people who are dangerous, and they know, listen, the federal government knows that these people are dangerous, but they are protecting them because the Saudis own parts or more of America than we even know. Because okay, let me educate you, okay? I was reading a book called Economic Hitman by John Perkins. And he said that back in 50s or 60s, that the APEC that was existed then was not the same that an APEC that exists now. See, the APEC that existed then was not close to America. So something had happened where they said, okay, America, you want to mess with us? We're going to take out oil and see what happened. That caused a crazy down-out spiral spin on the world economy. So what did they do? They went, they smoothed things over with, blah, 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 and that's why I think maybe George Bush Sr. was there, and they smoothed things and became good friends, blah, 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 and they was making deals and all this stuff, okay? So now that America's bankrupt and we're in a deficit and all this stuff, you see, China owns some America, some of Russia owns America, and the Saudis own some of America, okay? And don't forget the Queen of England. She's trumping. Okay, so my point is this. Immigration and the gun laws were two of the hottest things that was talked about. And so in order for us to, as Americans, to be brought down and brought to a place of understanding so the president rates can go up and the governors and the senators and representative people can, you know, get them uplifted. They got to create a tragedy. And if you don't believe me, y'all, look what's happening right here. Look what's happening right here in front of our face. They said there's two alleged people, but yet and still they said that on that day, let me figure out what day it was. Tuesday, April the 16th. Tuesday, April the 15th. There was the Fox News reporter, Tom Starnes, had also reported that a Saudi national who was initially detained and then ruled out to be a suspect in the Boston Marathon terrorist attack had been flagged as a terror on the watch list. Then Representative Jeff Duncan, Republican representative from South Carolina, said he told the Blaze that he had detailed information on the Saudi national and confirmed that Al-Habi was to be deported under the Section 2123 Bravo on Immigration and Nationality Act, alongside three other congressmen. So, listen, on Tuesday this happened, right? But all week long, we're talking about these two men. These two boys, one is dead and one still roaming alive. And I know on Friday, they play that junk until, listen, all day long, you know. And then I go and I post stuff, you know, and I post stuff on my Facebook. And they say to me, you know, why does this got to be conspiracy? You know, why can't we just, you know, just give love to those people who are hurt? Yes, I do. But listen, the Department of Homeland Security and the Department of Justice labeled an ongoing investigation that would be the reason for Janet Nesteto will not be able to respond to the Homeland Security Committee requesting for a briefing. Listen, all I'm saying is this. They are playing tricks on our emotions, on our minds. And so they want to bring us down and say, you know what? We need their emotions to get all riled up. So what do they do? What is one thing that the government knows how to do? They know how to rally the troops, okay? Proud to be an American, at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the man who died, who gave that right to me. You know, they love that. They love that kind of stuff. We got them. Come on, man. Y'all didn't get nobody. Who'd y'all get? Two teenage kids? Two of them are dead? So, okay. So now we're a society death for death. Okay, all right. Well, okay. It's satisfactory now, right? That's what you're saying? No, those people who family members have died, they want to know why. Of course they want justice, but they want to know why their babies had to die. They don't want to know why their babies had to get hurt. Their babies had nothing to do with nothing. You know what I'm saying? But that's what I keep telling y'all people. Y'all need to open your eyes. They don't care two pennies of a poop about you because you are just a number. You are just a number. They don't care about you. You know how many people they kill every day? With cancer and all these diseases and people they send to the to war and the drones they drop on people, they don't care. This is what they care about. They care that they control you. You can't say, you can't control me, I got rights. That's my whole point, ladies and gentlemen. You have rights, and they don't want you to have rights. What happened when you have rights? You can stand up because of the injustice. But if they lull you to sleep, just enough, to say, you know what, I believe in my government, and they're going to do whatever it takes to get those. And so President Obama jumped up quick. Whew. We're going to find those terrorists. This was a terrorist attack. Dang, Skippy, it was a terrorist attack. And you know what? You did not come out and say there's a third person that we had in custody that my wife went to go see yesterday, who went back to Saudi Arabia. You didn't say none of that, President Obama. And once again, I'm telling y'all, I'm not a President Obama. Hey, I'm glad the black man is in power. I'm glad. But listen, he don't consider himself to be a black man, and he know he is a pawn in the system. So this is bigger than Obama, y'all. I'm just trying to tell you. That's why I referenced George Bush. This is bigger than Obama, y'all. This is bigger than Obama. This is bigger than the Saudis. It is about the elitists who want to run this country. What they're trying to do is take our rights from us. And if y'all don't understand that, when they pass bills like immigration, first of all, they can't pass the immigration law. They could, but they can't. Because George Bush has already made the national, the North Trade Agreement, which opens the border of North America, Canada to United States to Mexico. They can't do that. But what they can do is try to put people on the border. They can do that, but they cannot fence the border. That is the reason why they're having problems, okay? They're talking to you because you don't know this. So you need to go and do your own research about the North Trade Agreement. They cannot close the border. Just like they haven't talked about putting a fence in Canada. There's more Canadians crossing the border or coming in illegally and staying in this country illegally than Mexicans, but there's a fair share of them, okay? Put it that way. Just as we see, we got these Saudi Arabians with money who come into our country. That's supposed to be on an education visa and not going to school. I thought we learned that lesson about these visas with these people coming. Didn't those people have a visa and they were flying airplanes? Didn't people get upset about that? And we still ain't learned our lesson. So listen to what I'm saying, people. Look, I'm not cold-hearted. I want y'all to really listen to what's going on in the media. And if it sounds fishy, it is probably fishy. Don't get too caught up on it. Because, listen, I got an even better example for y'all. This is how it works, okay? So, you remember like in the movies, right? In every movie, every theme is the same. There's no different and no variation, okay? You get the opening story of who the characters are. Once you get the opening characters are, you immediately know who is going to fall in love with who. Then they're all good, hunky-dory at first, and then something tragic happens. They don't speak to each other no more, and then either the guy got to go save the girl or the girl got to go save the guy because they made that decision. And then together they go and defeat the evil. And then the evil is destroyed, and then the good wins the day, and then the two lovers fall in love and happy ever after that. Every story's like that. Whether it's a cartoon, whether it's a thriller, whether it's a scary cut 'em up picture, it's always the same. You know why? It's because they have mapped out, and I say they, I'm talking about the scientists that the government had put together. That's why the movies are like they are now. They have mapped out a way to emotionally control your mind. And said, you know what, this was a good movie. Listen, I'm tired of saying the same old plots every time, every way. All they do is change the faces, change the names, and then call it a different movie. But it's still the same movie. So that emotional roller coaster that you see on TV is the same emotional roller coaster they put through the media. You see, the media is the tool that gets you where you need to be. And they get you all glued in like, okay, breaking news. Okay, oh, Lord, the breaking news, what's going on? Terrorists are in Baltimore. Terrorists are in Boston. Oh, my God, I'm scared. Now you got the whole Boston scared as hell because They don't know what a tariff is. Then they say, you know what? We're going to lock down Boston. Nobody come. Okay, so now in our history, and I'm only going to speak in our recent history, right? We've got the riots. We had the L.A. riots when it was called declared martial law. And that's, you got the Hurricane Katrina. They called martial law on that. Listen, did they call martial law? Listen to this. They going to call declare martial law on it. On a terrorist threat within the United States. That don't make no sense, people. Now, they say it's for your safety. They say it's for your safety. You mean to tell me that a dude... Okay, let's just take a high school student, for example. You tell me the high school linebacker couldn't take out that little kid? Come on, y'all. They locked down the whole... city. If that governor locked down the whole city through the authorization of the government, okay, declared martial law, y'all don't understand how strong that word is. Because let's say another bad thing happens, okay? For example, let's just say North Korea launches a nuclear warhead at America. And they said, we want y'all to stay in our house and we're going to declare martial law. Right? We see on TV there's a missile coming to us. We watch it over TV and we wait for that missile to hit. The question is that missile really real? That's the question for you. Because what we perceive on TV and what is actually happening in the world are two total different things. Two total different things. Because the image you see is, oh my God, here comes war, destruction, and death. Because they're feeding you images and they're asking you to pray. And you're sitting here hunkering in, and all along, all they're doing is locking you down in your house. Now they've got control of your mind. They've got control of your body. And you have given up every single right you have because the government... There is a terrorist, okay? I'm not saying... Listen. I want you to listen to me closely. There is a terrorist in Boston, Massachusetts. One has died. The other one we know is a kid. We know that he had explosives. Got it. So we don't know if he's armed or dangerous. Got it. But if he hasn't held anybody hostage, how do we know he's hostile? All we know is he is a suspect who blew up something. So you telling me that a young, thin, fragile Russian child, I don't even know if he can speak English, can manhandle a grown man? I mean, all you got to do is pick up a baseball bat and hit him in the face? I mean, come on now. Let's be realistic here. But that one child locked down the whole state, the whole city of Boston. BS. BS. So when, another thing I want y'all to look at this stuff is, North Korea says they are warning people they're going to shoot a missile at South Korea. They did not say they're going to shoot a missile at America, and even if they did shoot a missile to America, do you know how far that missile had to go to reach America? Okay, let me ask another question. When America was attacked in Pearl Harbor, I want you to go, and I want you, if you're listening, if you get a chance, I want you to pop up Google and look at a global map. And I want you to look at the distance from Japan to Hawaii to America. Let me tell you this, people. You telling me that back then we had submarines, all right, and we had radar. You mean to tell me that there was like two or three squadrons of Japanese bombers coming to Hawaii and nobody knew about it? Okay, that's one. Two, you know how long it took them to get there? That's two. Notice they attacked
Hawaii and they did not attack California. You know why? Because it takes a long time for those planes to get to the coast of California. At that point, naval ships would have blown those things out of the water. Point simple, right? So we would have had planes go blow them out of the water, blah, blah, blah. Now, that's my 3 points. Point is this. I'm going to rewind those points so you can see where I'm getting at. First point is a large squadron of planes coming to attack America, i.e. Hawaii. How long does it take to get to Hawaii with a squadron of bombers? Three, how long does it take to get to the coast of America from Japan? Okay. Now, North Korea is going to launch a nuclear warhead to America. Let's say California. You know how long that missile has to go before it gets to American shore? And you are afraid of who? Listen, don't we have nuclear warheads? Yeah, the only two countries, listen, who has not signed the, I can't say the word correctly, but proliferal act is Israel. Sorry, that's not two, that's three. It's Israel, North Korea, and America. We are the only three countries that has not signed that treaty. So, at that point, America still has nuclear warheads, and we got them in submarines. Point in time. Okay. I know I'm getting off, but I'm going to bring it all back in a second. Everybody watched the movie Transformers, right? In that movie, that guy, the Asian guy, who called in the Navy and said, I know you got this type of weapon. I need you to destroy this thing on top of this pyramid. He gave him the coordinates, and the Navy shot a laser at the thing and destroyed it, right? Guess what? The Navy has employed it. Go Google it. The Navy now has a laser that is on top that is on their ships that destroys planes. So now, okay, we know that they use things to as we call them interloops. I call them interloops. They call other things too. But so. So the reason why I brought that up is because now that scenario of me telling you, they tell you, close your doors, lock your doors, find some place to hide, there's a bomb coming, and they're showing it on TV. That psychological control that the media has on your brain at that point in time is so intense because only thing you could do is think of death. And now the government has control of your mind, your body, and your soul. You may not think about your soul, but they have control of it because you're so afraid, okay? Now, let's take that scenario and let's move it to the two bombings that happened, okay? The first bombing was Boston. I mean, that came out of the blue, okay? We know that psychological effect, right? But then there's the other psychological effect that happened in West Texas, okay? It's outside of Waco. I don't know if this to be true, y'all. I've seen a couple videos. Oh, there was something else I was going to tell you. But anyway, that was just a tragic thing that happened. I don't know what happened. I don't have no conspiracy theories on that one as yet. I have a few, but not anything that can stick. How could you stick a fertilizer plant? Let me pull this up because I have it. How could you stick a fertilizer plant in the middle of a city. Now, I have been looking. They have, listen, let me read something to you that's going to blow your mind. And if y'all don't think, and if y'all don't think this is crazy, then that's just up to you. But this is crazy to me, right? A public elementary school near West Fertile facility that exploded Thursday had, and this is, I don't know the date on it. It says Thursday, had been evacuated back on February because of a fire at the point. Okay, let me say, read it again. An elementary school near the West Fertilizer facility that exploded Thursday had been evacuated back in February because of a fire at the point. As school superintendent Marty Crawford wrote in a memo to the staff and parents of the West Intimate School, Crawford said in the memo that the 911 dispatch did not acknowledge that the retail factory was carrying out a controlled burn of pallets and brush, and that the district had asked emergency service providers for an advance notification in the future when the plant decided to conduct a burn. The memo did not say how the school, which served fourth and fifth graders, learned or confirmed that the facility had been carrying out controlled burns. Here's full memo below. It says, this morning, West Intermediate School was evacuated temporarily because of the concerns fire that was from the fertilizing plant near the school. The evacuation was executed in calm and secure fashion, where the students and staff eventually gathered the West Middle Schools for 30 minutes or so. The district and the WIS was not notified ahead of time that the fertilizer plant was carrying out a controlled burn of pallets and brush. WIS Principal Robert Fleming alerted 911 of the fire, whom dispatcher did not acknowledge a controlled burn. Mr. Fleming immediately initialized the evacuation procedure, and Kevin Manners of West ISD's transportation fleet specialist, along with drivers plucking from the campus, safely coordinating and transportation of the WIS students and the WMS students. Students seriously followed directives during the evacuation, and the teachers and the campus staff supported the staff was excellent at professionals in supervising and leading the children through the throughout the procedure. The district has asked emergency service providers to advance notification in the future when the plant decided to conduct a burn. The district is also requesting that the plant provide prior notifications as well. The safety of the students and the staff is a priority of West Independent School District. We hope that you understand of the urgency of the evacuation of West Intermediate School temporarily this morning, and we want to championize the effort of the WIS and WISD staff and students who were enabled to in this process this morning. Now, this comes from Washington Post. It's a Washington Post blog. This is where I got it. So you can get it from WashingtonPost.com blogs, okay? This is where my information came from. So, listen, okay? So that month before this happened, y'all, there were suspicious burnings and everything going on in that facility. The children was already at stake. Lives was already at stake, y'all. And they tried to cover it up and said that they was doing a controlled burn, and they was doing a controlled burn of pallets and brush. Okay, now, I don't know about most of you, but I was in the military, and when you coordinate stuff with the city or you coordinate stuff with the state, they know what you're doing. So if somebody was burning something they wasn't supposed to, it was unbeknownst to the company, but they still shouldn't have been burning where somebody could have seen it. Right? So if they're burning that close to the building, they know something's going to catch on fire. If you have not seen the diagram of the city, you need to go to Google Earth and look at the facility. I mean, it is right next to the school and the football field. I mean, it is. Listen, y'all. It cleared five blocks. Now, here comes the conspiracy. In the video, I saw this video where it was slowed down. This was not somebody who was showing it. The guy was actually, who DVR'd it, was on TV. He was watching on TV. You can see an object come from the object was coming from the left, coming slowly from the left screen into the right screen behind the berm. Now, a lot of people say, well, you know, what happened was is that fire can catch off in the smoke, and it probably could. But what I saw was an object. And once the object hit, now that's the thing that was fishy. Once the object, because it was already burning, so if you haven't seen the video, watch the video again. Once the object hit, it immediately exploded. So I'm waiting to see if there's a crater. If there's no crater, then, you know, there's no harm, no foul. But if there's not a crater, if there is a crater, then there's some questions. Now, and I know y'all going to think I'm crazy on this, but Fort Hood is only 88 miles from that spot. And that's Fort Hood is north, Fort Hood to west is northeast. So the angle that would come would definitely come from that angle. I'm just saying, I'm throwing that out there. That's just me. I don't know. But it is also very suspicious that it didn't get any news coverage as much as the Boston. And I'm not saying that the Boston bombing was not important. It was important. But that, it killed. How many people are killed? I think it said it killed 160 people. I want to get y'all some right information out. You know how I don't like giving y'all wrong information. Okay, so the initial report with the count was 160 people wounded and a total of to 5 to 15 people have died. Now, I don't know the count now because I have not looked it up. But, I mean, you talking about death? That's something I can be sympathetic about. You see what I'm saying? That ain't got nothing to do with people coming in and be terrorists. That right there is like, man. Ooh, and then they had a flood in the north. People's cars were being flooded out because of the heavy rains and stuff like that. That's newsworthy. So, if you're going to give me all week long an injection of this Boston bombing and inject this mind control information in my brain to make me want to sit there and watch television station all day long, and you don't give me factual information like there is another suspect we have in custody, something's wrong, y'all, because the two don't add up. All the time they said there's only two suspects. The news had you believing. Well, that's another story too. I'm gonna check into that as well because there's more information about those guys and who they were. They were far because they their family's involved in some double agent kind of stuff, FBI stuff. But I've gotta get factual information about that. So anyway, so what I'm saying is they gave us a heavy dose of this, and they wanted people to be concerned. They wanted people to really understand what they were saying, but they don't give you that information like we've got a third suspect who's in the hospital who's about to be deported. Don't even mention that at all, and we're led to believe. And then the Homeland Security Secretary is on Capitol Hill answering questions from a congressman So you can't tell me that's a conspiracy. I mean, how can you tell me that's a conspiracy that on the same day, the day before all this stuff is going on, and they're showing it on TV for this manhunt, shoot to kill, that the Homeland Security Secretary is on the floor answering questions to the Security Committee. She said she couldn't answer no more questions because it was turned over to the Justice of the Department of Justice, which is the Supreme Court. Okay. I just want y'all to understand the points that I'm getting at. My points that I'm getting at, one, the mind control games that they're playing on us, it's unfair, it's unjust, and it's not right. Now, I'm gonna give those who want to give peace a chance right now. Okay? You say to me, George, why do you talk about stuff like this? It doesn't make a hill of beans at the end of the day. But people, if you have been listening to me since day one on my show on Sign Off Forums, it is the great deception. You see, you figure if I don't talk about it, or if I don't see it, or if I just ignore it, then it's not going to bother you. But you remember that old thing people say, you don't talk about politics, you don't talk about religion? Well, that's also the part of the great deception. If you're not talking about Jesus and the good things that he's done, regardless of your views, no need arguing over Jesus. If you're not talking about what's going on in our republic, or such say in our corporation that we're a part of, you don't think laws that they do will affect you? If you are a business person, okay, and I speak business loosely, if you are an entrepreneur, and you make revenue to support your family, your monies will be affected somehow, some way. Okay? If your transportation if your job requires you to transport, it will affect you some type of way. Why? Gas prices go up, gas prices go down. Airlines making tickets higher. What I'm saying is, ladies and gentlemen, is if you ignore it, it will not go away, because the ultimate goal is for the government to be one with the world. One world order. One government, one military, one religion, and one money. We may not see in our time, and I pray to Jesus that we don't. But what I want us to do is to be, and this is where I find myself to be helpless. And you say, well, George, why are you telling all this stuff and you feel helpless? Because I have hope that the people who believe, who fight to be nationalists of America, who believe in the Constitution, who believe in that Pledge of Allegiance of America, will have that same belief and love for one another, to their left and to their right, whether they're black, white, yellow, brown, whether they're Asian, whether they're Japanese, whether they're a Napoleon, whether they're Islam, Muslim, whether they're a Jew, whether they're Southern Baptist, Methodist, Roman Catholic, to see through our ideas as people, put that aside, and look to be able to look at one another as people. I would love to see that transfer of loyalty and duty and selfless service given on a daily basis. I mean, I'm not saying that it's not happening, but for those who are not able to do that, to find that in their hearts to do it, for us to become one as a nation. We are divided and broken and tired. We want it all to go away. And the only way we can do it is to be open-minded about the things that people say. Alex Jones was attacked by Piers Morgan and blast his name. Where Alex Jones has done more for this country than Piers Morgan has ever had. What has he done? Been on a couple of TV shows. He's got his own talk show. He sits in Larry King's spot. They just need somebody to replace Larry King. I mean, really? Let's get real about it. You see, Alex Jones is an independent reporter who hits the grind. He goes to rallies. He's been in prison. He's been beat up. He's been talked about and all that stuff. And I'm saying everything that he says is right. But what I'm saying is this, is he is doing his part to help us open our minds. Has Piers Morgan ever went down to New Orleans to talk to those black people who are still suffering from Hurricane Katrina? Has Piers Morgan ever went to the Sandy Hook place and talked to those people? Has Piers Morgan ever went to Los Angeles and talked to some Crips and Bloods? Has Piers Morgan ever stepped on a reservation and asked them and interviewed them of how they feel and what they need? Has Piers Morgan ever went down to Texas and talked to some illegal immigrants who are trying to do the right thing to get legalized in this country? See, those are the questions that we need to ask our media. Not for ratings. We don't need ratings. We need people who really care. Because the government doesn't care. I mean, there's some people in the government that do care. I mean, obviously, because, you know, that representative, Honorable Duncan blew the lid off of it, and I appreciate. And I said this in my Facebook page. I said, listen, for those government officials who are trying to do the right thing, God bless them and continue to shield them to do the right thing, because that's the people that we want. But for those people who are just there to get fame, fortune, and money, and give their lives to the devil, then they need to be judged and dealt with harshly. You see, when you start putting their feet to the fire, then we know who are the cowards and who stands for justice. And I'm not going to let no smooth-talking, yellow, high yellow, nice-looking man with a great dialect, smooth-talking, nice-wearing suit, black lips from smoking, jumping higher than... Listen, I'm not down with that smooth talking rhetoric. It doesn't impress me anymore. It doesn't impress me. Because I realize that even though I'm not sophisticatedly educated as President Obama, I stand for justice. I can't say that he do. Listen, I'm not gonna judge this man. He knew what he had to do when he ran for office. He knew when he went into office that he was gonna have to do things that he didn't like to do. But that's the choice he made, and the choice he's got to live with, and he's got to ask God for forgiveness. I can't judge that man. Now, What I can say about him is listen, you shouldn't be killing innocent. Look, we don't cry as Americans. We don't cry. We don't see what happens to the other end when we're dropping bombs on those Muslim people. Guess what? Their mothers, their daughters, the babies, the fathers, the grandfathers, the priests, the local baker. It's one thing for Muslims to bomb Muslims, but when Americans are dropping bombs on a faceless plane, drone plane, and they didn't even know it was coming. See, listen, y'all. My anniversary for my soldiers are coming up in next week. And I had to pick up brain matter. If you never picked up brain matter before, if you never seen brain and body parts broken to pieces and fried, and we're putting stuff in a bag to make a whole person, you don't talk to me about death. That's why I take it seriously. You telling me that I'm un-American because I'm emotionally scarred forever for life? I went to basic training with that man. I knew him. I was new to the unit, but I knew him. He was trying to get his life back together. He's trying to give his life back to God. He was a mess, but he was on the right, and he was blown to bits and pieces. So when I'm talking about being sympathetic and empathy about people across the seas that we don't see, but America want to make sure that we get these terrorists. Let's look at the terrorists we have in our backyards. You see, nobody's ever addressed the Klan. Nobody says, you know what, we're going to do a campaign and we're going to rid the United States of America of the Ku Klux Klan. I ain't never heard we went to war on terrorists, and we got terrorists right now, skinheads, Aryan nations, walking up and down our streets. But we say to them, they have the freedom of speech. They have the freedom of assembly. But you tell me the last time Louis Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam marched in the street and said that we're going to kill white people. I want you to tell me that. They're a hate organization. When was the last time the Black Panthers organization party got together and said, we're going to gather up our weapons and we're going to go lynch some black people. I mean white people, because we don't like them. We're going to go kill them. Ain't never happened in the history of America. Never happened in the history of America. Never. But you did not declare war on people who have been terrorizing African Americans since the Reconstruction. You want to talk about fear? What do white people got to be afraid of? Not getting a job? Being unemployed? Come on, man. Let's be for real. Let's be for real here. I mean, I'm getting down to the nitty-gritty. I'm getting down to the end of the bowl when you got to sip the soup out of it. Forget the spoon. I'm just slurping right now, okay? Because I'm hurting inside, and you know, it's not a way for me to express my hurt or anger or my depression, because I see the world in this view differently from people. So, like I said, so when I'm coming at a point of view of, hey, he may be narrow-minded and he may be in this zone saying, oh my God, all he talks about is bad stuff. Listen, I am coming from love to awaken you. See, once we get awakened, then we can move on to happiness, but I can't be happy until I get everybody on the same page. I'm not the only one out there. There's tons of people who want to get that out. What happens when America is attacked on our home? We get upset. We want to know who did it. We want to do this. Listen, we want revenge, right? When did black people get revenge on white people? Y'all gonna say, y'all gonna bring up the riots when the black people hit Reginald Denny? Okay. But black people ain't never went out. You see? See, look, let me tell y'all about picnic. You know what picnic comes from? Picnic comes from, it's called pick a nigga. So they would go and they would pick up a nigga and they would have a, as they call, a lunch. And they would lynch him while they were having the pick the nigger. So that's why it's called picnic. Let's not have this smoke screen that is placed in front of us as Americans. Because, listen, I know a lot of you people that listen are people who love and tender-hearted like myself. And it hurts us inside to see so much hate and destruction. We do what we can. We do our part. But babies, listen, ladies and gentlemen, if you can do more, please do more. Educate your kids about Islam. If you don't know anything about Islam, listen, look it up on Google. Look it up on the internet. Look it up on YouTube. Maybe it may not be accurate, but at least the children have an idea of what Islam is. If you live in a larger city and they have Muslims in your city, ask someone to explain what Islam is. Don't go by what the media says. Listen, if you listen to Rush Limbaugh all day and you think he knows what a Muslim is, you are strongly mistaken. Let me tell you a story. When I was in Iraq, I'm sitting at the gate, and there was this old lady. She was crying. She did not know what to do. What am I to do? I'm a tender-hearted person. This is a grandmother crying, sobbing, asking for something. I couldn't even understand what she was talking about. Good thing we had an interpreter there. But this was a grandmother crying. Am I to leave my post? She could have a bomb strapped to her. And then I would be dead. My side of humanity says, she is a grandmother, George Beverly Jr. She is crying out for something. We asked the interpreter what she said, and she said, her son has been missing. She cannot find her son. We asked how old her son was. She told us how old her son was. Her little son was older, he was a teenager type age. And apparently we found out who he was because she said the name and then we had a little. He had joined the what they call the American police force for us, military force for us, and was working with us without anybody knowing, because if he was to do it publicly, they would seek him out and kill him because he was working for Americans. And so apparently, I mean, I didn't know anything about that until we found out later what would happen. But if we was to tell that old lady, you need to get away from this place or we're going to shoot you, and she wouldn't stop, what kind of man would that make me? Now, see, y'all don't get it. There's a divine line and choice I have to make at that point. Not only am I the leading NCO on the shift, but I've got to protect my soldiers that's sitting there with me on watch. And I've got to protect the other people who are deeper in the fort. And now I've got to make a decision. So either she could be a terrorist and blow me up, and then people come in and break down the door, or I got to say to myself, she is a grandmother, George. She is crying in pain and agony. This seems to be real. You tell me what you would have done. These are real-life situational in danger. I'm not talking about somebody being robbed. Listen, I'm talking about real-life situations. Either I make the decision to say, George, you are a human being, and she's a human being, and she is crying in emotional pain. You need to help her. Or she's, George, you need to go ahead and turn her away because she could be a terrorist. She could blow up a lot of things, and you'll never see your family again. I'm done with the story. But my point is this. If you have never talked to anybody that you are unsure about or you have a certain way about, if you've never talked to a gay or lesbian person, find out, seek someone out, talk to them. Listen, after the talk, you still may not like them. Fine. But you have made a choice to be open. Because now, I mean, they teach us to shut down. Oh, I hate these gays. They shouldn't get married. That's your opinion. Everybody has opinions. Whether it's right or wrong, only God's to decide. If you are a priest or a preacher and you do not choose to marry them, that's your choice as a pastor. But you see, you can't make choices like that. Why? Because you are affiliated with the government, and the government tells you what to do. If you are a man of God, you step out of the government shadow and say, listen, I don't need your additional help. You can't tell me what to say in my pulpit. You see what I'm saying? It's a snowballing effect, y'all. Open-minded. I don't eat collard greens, nor do I eat turnip greens. They say that I'm not black and I'm not from Louisiana. Got it. But I eat kelp. Kale. I eat kale. I eat broccoli. I eat lettuce. I eat cabbage. Can I get something? I'm not saying that I'm not open-minded about it, but my palate just don't like it. I got something about smells. In the next few days, we definitely will be talking about Monsanto's, a deep look of their affiliations, what they've been doing, what they make, how they make it. And I need y'all to bear with me. I'm in a bad spot right now, emotionally. I'm severely depressed. The reason why I wasn't on Thursday and Friday is because I just needed some time. And I'm trying not to be flaky. Like I said, the anniversary of my soldier's deaths are coming up. And, of course, I'm going to do a dedication that night. But it's hard. Those are the type of things that you have to deal with. You know, it's life. You know, and people say, you know what? You know, you can honor them and doing different things, and you know, you can always move on. I try to move on, but when I see. Decisions like this made by the government and innocent people die, y'all, only makes my wounds hurt even more. Why did these innocent runners and people, bystanders, have to be harmed or murdered based on decisions that our government decides to do? See, when you're in the service, you are a property of the service. And so that's why we're called GIs, because we're government issued. We're like GI Joes. When people die, listen, okay, I'm gonna say this and then I'm gonna close. My wife has a friend, and her young son friend had passed away, and he is in what they call Young Marines, and so it's kind of like ROTC, something like that. And the young man was asked not to show any emotions while he was standing there honoring his friend, because his friend also was in the Young Marines. I, too, was asked to do those things, stand in front of these memorials or memorials of these great soldiers who've passed away. And him as a teenage child should not be asked not to show any type of emotion while he's in uniform. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, we are human beings. We're not robots. There's a difference between being a man and being a robot and being a human. Robots do not have emotions. They don't feel, they don't think, they don't do any of that stuff. We don't have those type of robots as of yet. Men are raised to be brave protectors, show no emotion, don't be a sissy, don't be a wimp. Don't cry. Never cry. We as human beings are emotionally creatures. We cannot control our emotions sometimes. Sometimes we can control our emotions, depending on the situation. If you are in a significant position where you cannot control your emotions, you are able to put your emotions out there on front, whether it's a good thing or a bad thing. Okay? That's how I look at it. And so am I less of a man because I cry? I don't think so. But I was a senior NCO. I was not able to show emotion. And I can recall me standing in front of one of my soldiers who passed away, and I told him before, he told me, he said, "Sergeant Bev, I don't want to be deployed because I don't feel safe without you." And I said, "Listen, man, you're going to be all right. Sergeant so-and-so is going to take care of you. You're going to come back, and we're going to have a couple beers, and we're going to call it a day. You'll be fine." And that never happened. He never came back. And so I'm standing at position of attention in front of his pictures, and you ask me to stand there emotionless about a man that I told in his face, in his eyes, that I would make sure that he'd come home, knowing that I had no power of knowing if he's going to come home or not, but praying to God that he does. I say treasure every moment of your life. I say live for the moment. I say get upset and angry, but don't stay in a place of hate. I said forgive. Don't forget, forgive. Don't judge, but love and understand. Let's not let the government use our emotions or the media use our emotions as our own self-destruction, our own controlling mechanism against ourselves because of what we deem to be fear are the unknown. Why? Because we don't know what's going on out in the world, but they supposedly do. Let's be a little smarter. Let's use our technology that we have. Let's use our weapons of God, praying for intercessory prayer, praying to inject love and kindness in this world. Let's pray for our president. Let's pray for our government. Let's pray for the local government. Let's pray for each other. Let's pray that this nation becomes better than worse. Let's pray for those children around the world who don't eat every day. Let's pray for those children in the world who don't have clothes to wear. Let's pray for the mothers who can't feed their children for the day. Let's pray for their mothers to give them love, kindness, and understanding, and patience for their crying child who's just hungry. Let's pray for the fathers who father these children and have a wife and can't find a job to help take care of them, that they be able to stay strong for their families and not abandon them because they feel bad because they're less than a man. Let's pray for the grandparents who have to see their children struggle to make it day in and day out. Let's pray for those grandparents who know that their children have nothing to eat around the world, that look into their grandbaby's eyes and do whatever they can in order to make them happy. This world is bigger than our own desires and needs. No, we can't solve all of them, but you can solve something somewhere. You can make a difference. So tomorrow, you wake up during your day, just hug and kiss a person for no reason. I mean, if you know them, that's fine. If you don't know them, just give them a handshake or something and tell them have a blessed day or have a good day. It'll go a long way, because you never know who you might meet that might need it. You don't have to say anything. Just, you know how it is when you meet somebody and you're not sure if they're going to give you a hug, but if they open their arms, you know they're going to give you a hug too. You just do that and see how many people will give you a hug. All right? Just do that. If you feel comfortable giving that person a hug, just do that. Because you never know what that could mean to them. What about if they're looking for that hug that they are not getting? I say, listen, let's not take life for granted. Let's live it. Next time I see you, you should be signing off. I'm George Beverly. You have a good night.